And now for something completely different.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Let's do it.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. With you till 3 on this Friday as we kickstart the weekend with plenty to get to over the next couple of hours. Coming up, Game 5 of the NBA Finals is tomorrow night. It's the swing game. And who will play the biggest roles? Who are the two X factors in tomorrow night's game? Plus, when is enough enough? And I'll let you know what I mean coming up in a little bit. Rule changes heading towards Major League Baseball. Which one should actually go into effect? Which ones are bad ideas? The Atlanta Braves made a move last night, plus some interesting tidbits from Big 12 Media Days this week as we've already reached talking season. Funny story from John Smoltz. Space Jam 2 is coming out tonight. Turns out maybe the radio station isn't haunted after all. And a whole lot more over the next couple of hours. Michael Collins will join us an hour from now from Fansided to talk about the second half of the Braves season. And to look ahead already, because it's never too soon, to the Georgia-Clemson game and the upcoming college football season. That'll be about an hour from now. 2 hours from now, we'll try to link up with former big leaguer Elliot Johnson. Was supposed to join us yesterday, rescheduled to today. At 2 o'clock, we'll see if we can get him on the show, former Atlanta Brave, as we start the second half of the baseball season. You know, a lot of times Fridays are like football Fridays during the football season. That's what we call them as you get ready for the weekend. Second half of the baseball season, this may almost be a little bit like a baseball Friday. We got a lot of baseball stuff to get to over the next couple of hours. And you can always join the conversation throughout the afternoon, 843-721-9500 to give us a call. You can always text the show. 843-608-1734. You can get to us on Twitter at Morrow Middays, on Facebook at ESPN Charleston, via email studio@kirkmanbroadcasting.com, or online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Head on over there, click on our show page, and there you can leave a comment for the show. You can find the latest versions of the show podcasted, or you could take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go by simply streaming us online at charlestonsportsradio.com. With you till 3 on this Friday as we start the weekend, Joe's on the steel wheels. Joe, what's going on? How are you?
Oh, Friday is here, and Friday is going quite well. How about you?
Yeah, not too bad. Heading into the weekend. Got the NBA Finals, Game 5 tomorrow. Baseball comes back. I want to start there with the NBA Finals. Game 5 tomorrow night. We always know Game 5 in a series like this, when it's tied 2-2, right? Game 5 is the big swing game. And tomorrow's a huge game. Because if Phoenix wins, it's bigger than your normal Game 5. Because if Phoenix wins, well, now they have a 3-2 lead. They come back home Game 7, and they haven't lost at home. If Milwaukee wins, then Phoenix is in a tough spot. Because the Bucks go back home already up 3-2, and they are very tough at home. And I heard Greeny this morning on the show, Greeny right here before our show on ESPN Radio, ask, what's more important, momentum or home court? And I don't think it's even a question. I think it's clearly home court. Home court is more important in the NBA than momentum. You know, the Suns had momentum to start the series. They won the first two games. They had what we would believe is momentum. Then they went to Milwaukee and lost both games. Now Milwaukee has the momentum. They've won the last two. But if they go to Phoenix tomorrow night and lose, well, then who do you think has the momentum heading into Game 6? And that momentum heading into Game 5 wouldn't mean a whole lot. It would be wiped out because of, you would imagine, the home court advantage of Phoenix. And I think when it comes to Game 5 tomorrow, home court is more important. If you told me which team I'd rather be right now, which spot I'd rather be in, it's still Phoenix. We have the tendency to make big reactions from games. I talked about this a little bit on the show yesterday. Right? We could be hyperbolic in this industry or as sports fans because we're passionate. And maybe even a little impatient at times. But if you told me right now Whose spot would I rather be in, the Suns or the Bucks? It's still Phoenix. They're home for two of the next three, and it's just a tied series. Many are acting like the Bucks just went up 3-1 or something. All they did was even the series, and the Suns are going home. If I'm Phoenix, right, if I'm Monty Williams, I'm telling my guys, yeah, we lost the last two. Don't worry, we're going home. Right, let's get this thing, right the ship here, game five in front of the home crowd. We win that, we're sitting pretty, we're fine. Don't worry about the last two games. Don't worry about what happened in Milwaukee. Let's focus on game five. We're going back home in front of the crowd. We win that game, we're looking good. We win that game, we've got two chances to win one game, including game seven at home. Right, a lot of people are acting like Milwaukee has already locked up the NBA title, just like they did after Phoenix won the first two games. It's still a long series. And even though the Bucks have won the last two games, right now they have to go on the road. Now they have to win three in a row and do it on the road for once. They're in the tougher position. Sure, they've won the last two. It means nothing. The Suns won the first two. Now they're the ones that many believe are behind the eight ball. Momentum doesn't mean a whole lot in the NBA, really in all of sports. Right, in baseball, the expression is, your momentum is only as good as the next day's starting pitcher. And in basketball, really, your momentum is only as good as home court in the next game. Now, there are a few exceptions. If you're down 3-0 and you force a game seven, then momentum is on your side. But it's not so much the momentum, it's the pressure that you put on that other team. Right? Because they don't want to blow that 3-0 lead or a 3-1 lead. So in situations like that, okay, then I am interested in momentum. If you were down 3-1 and you force game seven, then I am a little interested. Then even on the road, right? If you're going on the road after just evening the series, coming back from a 3-1 deficit, then maybe I am more into the momentum than home court, but it's not so much about momentum in that case. It's really more about the pressure that's on the other team. Momentum to me doesn't mean a whole lot in basketball. The Suns started 2-0. They seem to have the momentum. We were all saying, oh, this is over. It's going to be a sweep, a gentleman's sweep. Now the Bucks even the series. And the reaction is, oh, they're going to win this series. The difference is that the Bucks only got even with their two victories. The Suns at least jumped out to a 2-0 lead, giving themselves a head start. The Bucks, all they did was even the series and now have to go on the road. Right, but they win the last two games. Oh, no. Here we go. Bucks are champions this year. Giannis is finally going to get a ring. Chris Middleton's going to bring it to Charleston. And if the Suns win game five at home tomorrow night, what do you think the reaction is going to be? Oh, Phoenix, they got this series now. They're up 3-2. And we're very fickle in our opinions, thoughts, or reactions. But I'd rather be in the Phoenix Suns situation because they're home for two of the next three. And it's only an even series, right? It's just tied. They're fine. They're right where they want to be. Just win your home games. You're champions. And if I'm Monty Williams, I'm also telling my team, look, we played terrible. And we still had almost a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter. We still probably should have won that game. We turned it over almost 20 times. Chris Paul had 10 points. He had the worst game of his season. We were on the road. Chris Middleton had a career night, and yet we still were leading with 3 minutes to go. Now we're going back home, right? Just play a little bit better. Just take care of the basketball a little bit. Chris Paul, play a little bit better than your worst performance. You don't have to be great. Just be average. Be good. Don't be terrible. The Bucks took 19 more shots than the Suns and still almost lost. Right? Just don't turn over the basketball, and I don't think they will as much at home. Home court is huge in the NBA, and especially in this series, because there aren't enough superstars. It's a bunch of role players. And role players don't play as well on the road. Giannis tried to lead the Bucks to a victory in Game 2 by himself. That's when he scored over 40 points. But guess what? They lost. And then in Game 3, he scored over 40 points, but they won. What was the difference? Well, they were at home. And Giannis got a little more help at home, because that's what role players do. Devin Booker tried to carry the Suns in Game 4. Chris Paul was playing lousy. Devin Booker went off for 40 points on the road, and they lost. If he does that in Game 5, they'll probably win. Why? Because they'll be at home, and they'll get a little more help from all the other guys. Right, stars, at least in this series, haven't been able to do it themselves on the road. Giannis lost when he scored 40 on the road. Booker lost when he scored 40 on the road. Comes down to those other guys chipping in. And that's easier to be done. That's done more frequently at home. So it comes down to the role players, which is why the pressure for Milwaukee is on guys like Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday more so defensively, guarding Chris Paul. Chris Middleton obviously more so offensively after scoring 40 points the other night. But on the Phoenix side, the pressure is also on Chris Paul. Because we know Game 5 is the swing game of the series. This is the all-important game. We're tied at 2. Whoever wins Game 5 is probably winning the series. And the data shows that that happens about 80% of the time, maybe even a little higher. That when a series is tied 2-2, whoever wins Game 5 wins the series, it's like 83% of the time. So Game 5, tomorrow night, is the big game. And Chris Paul needs to play well because he played terrible in Game 4. And so you can imagine the reaction, or maybe even a reputation he would start to build. If he plays lousy in Game 4, Bucks even the series, then he plays lousy in Game 5 and the Bucks take a series lead. That would not be good for Chris Paul, a guy who's never won a championship before or even has played in a championship until this year. And you wouldn't want your one NBA Finals appearance to go that way, because Chris Paul is a guy who's already blown a 3-1 lead before. He's blown a 2-0 lead before. This would be another 2-0 lead blown. And you could also make the case that he played so poorly in Game 4 that it kept Phoenix from taking what should have been a 3-1 lead. And if they took that 3-1 lead, the series would have been over that night. They'd probably be putting it away tomorrow. Only one team in the NBA Finals has ever come back down 3-1, and that was LeBron James a couple years ago. I don't think Giannis is capable of doing what LeBron did a few years back. If the Suns win that game going back home 3-1, they'd probably be celebrating a championship tomorrow night. And instead they didn't, in large part, because of Chris Paul. And it's not fair to put it all on just one guy, but Chris Paul really was that bad. And he's also supposed to be your star. I mean, Devin Booker's great, but Chris Paul was one of the runner-ups for MVP this year. And one of the biggest games of the season, that's not when you can afford to have him disappear. So if Chris Paul comes out and doesn't play well again tomorrow, and especially if the Suns lose, then I think the conversation really changes. After about a week ago, everyone was talking about a top five point guard all time, to now saying, well, you know, he's never won an NBA Finals. He's blown multiple leads in the playoffs. And in his final, his only NBA Finals appearance, his team was up 2-0, and they blew it. And he played lousy in Game 4 and potentially Game 5, and then we'll see what happens in Game 6. That wouldn't be good for Chris Paul. So for Milwaukee, the pressure is on Chris Middleton, because we've seen Giannis can go for 40 on the road, and it still won't be enough to win. The X factor is Middleton chipping in and doing his part. And for Phoenix, the pressure is on Chris Paul, because Devin Booker, just the other night, right? He got his. He did his job. On the road, they still lost. Why? Because Chris Paul didn't do his. And there's more on the line for Chris Paul, really, of any player in this series. Devin Booker's only been in the league a couple years. He'll have plenty of years to cement his legacy and to try to alter his reputation and to continue to showcase his abilities in big spots. For Chris Paul, this is probably his only chance. And he played lousy in Game 4 when Phoenix had a chance to really bury Milwaukee. But the great thing about sports, and this is the final game of the year, right? There's always, quote-unquote, tomorrow. That's what they say in baseball. Basketball, you get a few days off. So there's always the next one. Chris Paul, you played terrible in Game 4. You know what? You can make up for it in front of the home crowd tomorrow night, Game 5. Just like baseball, you go 0-4 with 4 strikeouts. Yeah, that sucks, but you know what? You'll be back out there tomorrow. Try to put it behind you, make up for it tomorrow, get a few hits tomorrow night. Or a relief pitcher that blows the game. Yeah, I know, that's tough to swallow, but guess what? You'll have another opportunity tomorrow or the next day. You'll have a chance to make up for it then. That's the case for Chris Paul. You played terrible the other night, but you know what? You got a chance to make up for it in Game 5. And if you do and you help the Suns get a victory and put your team back in the driver's seat of the NBA Finals, that would go a long way in changing that reputation, much like a championship would for Chris Paul. Game 5 is huge for CP3's legacy. You play poorly and you fall behind in the series, that won't reflect well on Chris Paul over the course of his career. You play well and you take control of the series and you eventually get that ring, and now you have that missing piece to your legacy. And for Milwaukee, again, it comes down to Chris Middleton. Giannis will probably do his part. On the road, tough game. Can Middleton step up enough to help the Bucks get a win on the road? Game 5 of the NBA Finals tomorrow night. A rare Saturday night game in the NBA Finals. It's been a number of years since we've had that, because they usually do Sunday. Right? More people, they figure around the TV, especially in the summer, Saturday nights, you're going out with friends, nice weather, you're going out and doing things. Usually they do the Sunday game. Sunday's always been the big NBA day. But because of the whole schedule with the Major League Baseball All-Star game, the last game got pushed back an extra day. So the schedule's got kind of thrown out of whack. It gives us a Saturday night game in the NBA Finals. And a big one. Game 5 will probably decide the champion. When we come back, when is enough enough? And I'll get to that when we return. I'll let you know what I mean. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Depends on your touch, and my love is a river running. So
Coming up, when is enough enough? It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Hey, we have some more River Dog tickets to give away later on this afternoon, so stay tuned for that. We'll also be joined, or at least scheduled to, by a former River Dog and big leaguer and Atlanta Brave later on this afternoon in the final hour of the afternoon. Plus, it turns out, if you were listening earlier this week, it turns out maybe the radio station isn't haunted after all. And I'll give you the conclusion to that tale from earlier this week. But I ask, when is enough going to be enough? Now, we have two rules on this show. Yeah, two I can think of. Maybe there's been a few more over the years. Number one, right, we try to stay out of politics. Sports is supposed to be the escape. Sports is like the beer section of the grocery store when you go to Publix, right? You need some serious stuff, you could go the other aisles. But when you just want to have fun, when you want a distraction, when you want to take a load off, you go to the beer aisle. That's supposed to be sports. That's why we all love and depend on sports, right? It helps you get through tough times. You had a tough day at work. Well, at least the Braves are on tonight. Or, it's okay, we got a Gamecock or Clemson football game this weekend to look forward to. So we don't try to get too serious. Plus, I'm not even qualified to talk about the majority of the things that they talk about in politics. I stick to sports. At least I try to. The other rule is to always tell the truth, right? As long as you have a microphone. Now, of course, we joke around from time to time. Some things are tongue-in-cheek, and I hope that that comes across. You know when I'm joking and I'm not actually being serious. But when we do talk sports, when we do talk actual topics, tell the truth. Right? Don't peddle fake news. Don't say something just to get a reaction. Anything I say on the show that I'm not just joking around, when I'm talking about actual sports topics for the show, I'm telling you what I really think. I'm not saying something just to try to get a reaction out of you. I'm not in the hot take business, and I'm not saying something just to say it. Whatever I say on the show, I really do believe, usually with data to back it up. Those are mainly the two rules of the show. Right? Because I think it's important for anybody in this industry, if you have a microphone, tell the truth. I don't like the garbage of going on TV and saying ridiculous things just to get attention. I think that's silly. I think it's lazy. I think it's the worst thing that has happened to this industry in the past decade, if I'm being honest with you, because that's what I do. But let me preface this by saying, number one, maybe I'm a little emotional because I was really looking forward to last night's game. In case you're not following, you weren't following along, or you're still not sure what I'm referring to, the Red Sox-Yankees were supposed to play last night to start the second half of the baseball season. Major League Baseball has started this new thing the last couple years where they take one interesting matchup, they put it as the only game to start the second half of the season. So you get one game on Thursday, everybody else comes back on Friday. They did it in 2019, I think it was like the Cardinals-Cubs, right, because that's a good rivalry in the NL. This year is supposed to be Red Sox-Yankees. Everyone else is starting their second half tonight. Red Sox-Yankees were supposed to play last night. And I was really looking forward to it. The Red Sox, I'm a Red Sox fan. Red Sox called up a couple of their big prospects that were supposed to be playing last night. They're playing at Yankee Stadium. It's always a big deal. And baseball is back. I don't really care about the All-Star game. So even for me, 3 days without baseball, I'm a man of routine. I'm used to watching baseball every night. After I'm done doing whatever I got to do, I go work out. I eat dinner, whatever it is. I sit down. I want to watch baseball. And it was weird the last couple of days. 3 days, that was enough of not being able to watch the Red Sox or even the Braves. I got to be, what's going on? We got no sports last night. There was literally nothing. Even the Olympic basketball team had their game postponed. No NBA Finals. There was nothing going on last night. It's like, what do I do? I don't know what to do with myself. What do I watch on TV? So I was really looking forward to Red Sox-Yankees. Baseball's coming back for the second half. My Red Sox are in first place. Some prospects are coming up. They're at Yankee Stadium. The game gets banged at about 4:30. I say, I can't play. The Yankees have 6 positive tests. So let me preface all of this by saying that I come from it from that angle. If this was, I don't know, the Giants against the Diamondbacks, I probably wouldn't care as much because I wasn't going to be watching that game. But I was looking forward to the Red Sox-Yankees. Now, I don't know if they were going to play at all this weekend. It's supposed to be a 4-game series at the stadium. I don't know if it's going to happen. These are important games. And my other the way to preface this is also that I'm vaccinated. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm not a COVID denier, which shouldn't have to be said, but for some reason, anytime you say anything other than get in the bomb shelter and don't come out for a year, right, don't talk to anybody, you're considered like a denier of everything. I'm in the middle. I got vaccinated. I've been very careful. I've always taken COVID seriously, but at the same time, I understand you got to go out there and live your life, right? You got to get back to business. You got to do some things. And I know in South Carolina, we're actually one of the 10 states with the lowest vaccination rate, so maybe I'm barking up the wrong tree here. But Major League Baseball decided to postpone that game last night, And we don't know about the rest of the series because of some positive tests in the Yankees clubhouse. And as I said off the top, you know, when is enough enough? Because, again, I take COVID seriously. I got vaccinated. I kept my distance. I wore my mask whenever I was supposed to. I even would get my groceries delivered from time to time just so I wouldn't have to go to the store. Right? I did all the things. We shut down things around here for a while at the beginning of the pandemic. No problem. I didn't complain. I get it. I'm all for it. That's fine with me. But we're now about a year and a half into this thing. Right? And we're still going to postpone a baseball game because of a couple of positive tests where, by the way, the Yankees reached that 85% vaccination rate in April. That was in April. It'd be safe to assume they've only gone up since then. You can't go down. And so they're close to being fully vaccinated as a team. Now, of the six players who tested positive yesterday, I believe five of the six are vaccinated. And the one guy who is not vaccinated does have some symptoms. The others that are vaccinated that tested positive don't have any symptoms. So I'm going to give Major League Baseball, for the time being, the benefit of the doubt. Consider this, I guess, a preemptive strike, because we'll see what happens this afternoon. I'm waiting for the announcement on what they're going to do at tonight's game because they're still unsure. The teams are unsure. The teams have no idea if at 7:05 tonight they're going to be playing or not. They're waiting to find out. Why do they still not know? I don't know. I guess they're waiting on tests. So I'm going to give Major League Baseball the benefit of the doubt because I think you should be able to play tonight. You want to postpone yesterday's game to buy more time to make sure you test everybody, maybe double-check some of those tests, make sure, you know, try to figure out the situation, how many guys are involved in this. Okay, fine. I get that. But then just get out there and play tonight with the taxi. That's the whole point of the taxi squad. You got guys nearby that you can add to the team. In fact, part of minor league baseball's realignment was to get affiliates closer to the big league team. The Yankees, all their affiliates now are in the tri-state area. You get guys to Yankee Stadium pretty quick, less than 24 hours. So get some guys there, play the game tonight. And even, I would tell you, even the vaccinated players who are asymptomatic, I wouldn't even have a problem if you let them play. They're vaccinated. They have no symptoms. The majority of the team is vaccinated. But if you want to keep all six players out and play, yeah, that'd probably be ideal as well. Do that. Replace those six players and go on and play the game. Because my whole thing is, at a certain point, we kind of have to get back to normal. And that's not to deny or ignore COVID. But are we going to be doing COVID testing in sports for the rest of time? You know, in 2025, are we still going to be postponing games because of a positive COVID test? Because I don't think it's going anywhere. Right now, we're at 48% of the country is fully vaccinated. Now, that's all residents, right? So that counts kids who don't really have to get vaccinated. 48% of the country is fully vaccinated. If you take just adults, that number obviously goes up. But in order to reach this herd immunity, you have to get over about 70%. I don't know if we're getting there. And probably not anytime soon. I don't know if COVID's ever going to fully go away. It's just something that we're probably going to have to deal with here moving forward. So for the rest of time, are we always going to be testing for COVID? And every time even a vaccinated guy who's asymptomatic tests positive, we're just going, well, that's it. We can't play baseball tonight. I'll tell you what, we had somebody in this building who was vaccinated, tested positive for COVID. They had to stay away from work for a little while, right? They did their 2 weeks at home and everything. And then we all came back to work the very next day and kept working like nothing happened. Because that's, I think, what you probably should do. Just like if a player comes down with any sort of illness. It's not like, well, this guy's sick. We can't play tonight. I think at a certain point, at least in the sports world, you have to kind of start treating COVID like everything else. These guys are almost all completely vaccinated, asymptomatic. The only athlete I've ever heard of with any sort of really bad side effects was Freddie Freeman, and that was over a year ago, close to a year ago, prior to the vaccine. Right, like L.A. County announced that they're going back, they're mandating masks again starting this Sunday. But L.A. County also announced that every COVID patient in their hospital is unvaccinated. So for the vaccinated people, why do they have to wear masks? They don't seem to be the ones in harm's way. And for those vaccinated, they're the ones that played by the rules and did what they were told. And at a certain point, you have to kind of trust the vaccine, right? We always hear that, trust the science. Well, we're trying to trust the science. When you get the vaccine, that's supposed to be it. You're good to go. You don't have to wear a mask anymore. And if you trust the science, you trust that the vaccine will do its job. And, by the way, just for the record, let me say, I don't think this is getting political because I have no idea why a vaccine and a deadly pandemic ever turned political. And now it is infiltrated into the sports world. My whole point with this whole rant is I'll give Major League Baseball the benefit of the doubt if they just wanted to buy some extra time yesterday to see how widespread this was. especially because Aaron Judge tested positive and he was part of the All-Star game the other night. So now there's concern about a super spreader event in Colorado in those locker rooms for the All-Star game. There's concern now that we may have positive tests throughout the league, all sorts of teams. And who knows? Worst case scenario, a bunch of teams can't play for a few days. Baseball's going to have to shut down for a few days. I don't think they would move to that extreme. But the fact that we're even still worrying about that a year and a half later, when the majority of the league is vaccinated, when these guys are asymptomatic, at a certain point, as I said at the beginning, right? When is enough going to be enough? We just have to move forward and understand that eventually, sometimes, athletes will test positive for COVID. They most likely will be vaccinated athletes without any side effects. You just move them aside, say, okay, you go home, and the rest of us are going to play a game tonight. Because at a certain point, that's kind of what we have to do. We can't continue to cancel or postpone or move games around because of a couple of positive COVID tests. Because, again, I don't think COVID's going anywhere. I think people will continue to get COVID here and there for probably a number of years, maybe forever. Are we going to continue year after year to keep testing these guys? And in 2025, be postponing games because, well, he has COVID. Yeah, but they're vaccinated. They don't have any symptoms. The rest of the team's vaccinated. They have enough players to go out there and play. All right, we're good to go. I believe it's 99% of COVID deaths since the vaccine rollout have been unvaccinated people. 97% of the hospitalizations have been unvaccinated. I don't get why there's this big concern for the vaccinated athletes. For the Yankees, 5 of 6 who tested positive were vaccinated, no symptoms. Almost 100% of the roster, vaccinated. It shouldn't be as much of a concern. We should be able to move forward and play the games, right? Or are we just going to do this now for the rest of the time? And if so, then it's like, well, what was the whole idea behind the vaccine? These people got vaccinated. These athletes got vaccinated to avoid this exact situation. Yes, to make sure that they're in good health and don't get the bad side of COVID and or even get the virus itself. But also, you're telling these athletes, get vaccinated. They do get vaccinated. Then they still test positive, and they have to sit out. And the team can't play games. It's like, oh, well, that defeats part of the purpose. Here was Buster Olney on SportsCenter last night from Yankee Stadium because this was supposed to be the big ESPN game last night. Return of the second half. Couldn't even play the game. Here was Buster Olney talking about how the rest of the series still is up in the air. We don't know if they're going to play at all this weekend.
It's unclear, Kevin, because Major League Baseball wants to wait until they get these three pending tests of Yankee players tomorrow before they make a decision about tomorrow's game. They want full context. Aaron Boone, the Yankees manager, talked about how disappointing and frustrating it is, but at the same time, they've been through COVID protocol before. Alex Cora telling his players today, look, they have to continue to be diligent as they did in the spring to try to prevent anything happening with their group.
Buster Olney last night. And again, I'll give Major League Baseball the benefit of the doubt. You postpone last night's game because you say, hey, look, we just got back from the All-Star break. Bunch of these guys were in Denver. They traveled. We want to buy some more time. Okay, I get that. But tonight's game shouldn't be much of a question. You get those tests back. You figure out who else. And for the Yankees, if it's just those six players, okay, sorry, you guys have to sit out. At least the unvaccinated guy who's got the symptoms. And the rest of the team, okay, you have to go play. And if the Yankees want to say, but we're shorthanded, well, sorry, that's just the situation. Although I would tell you that the Yankees, that would be a string of bad luck if, again, vaccinated players with no symptoms have to sit out for a while. Because otherwise, what was the point? The Yankees have been one of the first teams to reach that 85% plateau, and yet they've had two separate COVID issues to worry about this year, where the athletes, again, are pretty much asymptomatic, but still have to sit out or games are postponed. What's the point in encouraging them all to get the vaccine? Yes, of course, to make sure that they're in good health or that they can protect themselves, but also isn't it to try to keep them on the field and keep these games going as well? Wasn't that the whole idea? If they play tonight, okay. I get it. I'll cut them some slack. But if they still say, we can't. The Yankees have an outbreak. They can't play all weekend. How much longer are we going to be doing this? The vaccine's been rolled out. Whoever wants to get it can get it. Whoever doesn't, okay, this is the chance they take. The Yankees are mostly vaccinated. The guys are asymptomatic. Find a way to get out there and play the games because we still have to. Alex Spurrier of the Boston Globe did say that there's optimism that they can play tonight. But there'll be heightened testing to make sure that the teams can actually play this evening. And now this is the concern for baseball that Aaron Judge was in the locker room for the All-Star game. He tested positive. How many other guys in that locker room maybe were exposed? How many of them are vaccinated or not vaccinated? Where then they got on a plane. They went into other locker rooms. How widespread is this in baseball as the league returns tonight with the second half? Red Sox, Yankees, though, should be able to play tonight and moving forward. because that's the whole idea of the vaccine, right? To kind of get past all of this, to get past COVID. And Yankees, to their credit, one of the best teams in the league for vaccination rates. And yet here we are. They're the ones that are in this situation where they're being told they can't play because of vaccinated players testing positive. Coming up, the Atlanta Braves made a move. Well, the Atlanta Braves started the second half by going out and acquiring an outfielder. What does it mean for Atlanta and their season this year? We'll get to that next. It's the More Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Yo, what up?
What's the word, big fella? Everything's good on this end.
Hey, Luke, how's it going? Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, Luke. Hey, man. Pleasure to be on your show.
Great show. You did a good job.
You're turning into rapidly my favorite person I've interviewed with, and I've done like 50 of these in the last week.
You've done your homework. I like it. I absolutely like it. I love that.
Another great thought.
You've done your homework, haven't you? Good job.
You're always getting these big stars and important people on. That's great to hear, and we like to hear the interviews.
You know, it's uncanny how you do this, Luke, and I don't know how you do, because I do this gauntlet of radio on Thursdays where I do all these different cities. Many of them need their hosts to have me give them some talking points. You hit all my talking points every week. It's uncanny how good you are.
Always great talking football with you, Luke.
Appreciate you guys being right.
Very impressive.
Shout out to all the people in Tulsa that support the show.
Tell your friends. Tell your friends.
Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Go ahead, boy. That's why you bring it on.
Is this a sports show or a dancing show?
I don't know. Sometimes I don't know what we're doing around here.
Lunch with Luke for 3 hours, anything goes.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Coming up, the Atlanta Braves acquired an outfielder. What does it mean for the rest of their season? It's the More Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Give away some River Dog tickets coming up later on as well, as their homestand continues next week. You ever have a problem around the house? You think, I can't fix that? Don't worry, because the Canty Foundation specialist can. Check him out online at CantyCanFixIt.com or give him a call, 843-484-3625. Because Canty knows how tough it can be to find a contractor that you can trust. So they offer warrantied solutions and a free, no-obligation estimate for all foundation repair services. And this time of year, you're running around in the yard without the shoes on. You got to protect your toes. So if you have concrete that's cracked or uneven, such as a sidewalk, driveway, patio, or pool deck, the Canty Foundation Specialists offer the repair options you need to help protect the look of your concrete, the value of your home, and the integrity of your little toes. Contact them for a free estimate today. The Canty Foundation Specialists. Online at CantyCanFixIt.com or give them a call, 843-484-3625. We'll track what's going on with the Red Sox Yankees specifically, but also throughout baseball after the All-Star game, and Aaron Judge was there. He tested positive. He was also involved in the Hank Aaron tribute, right? He was all up in there. So we'll see what happens there with the game tonight and elsewhere in baseball. And just to put a bow on it, I am still, certainly, I guess would say, taking COVID seriously. I mean, I got vaccinated. I certainly, if people test positive, I always hope the best, of course. But my whole point being, how much longer can we continue to postpone or cancel sporting events for athletes who do test positive, especially when those athletes are vaccinated and asymptomatic? Because I think that's the whole idea, to try to move forward. Right? It was the whole vaccine rollout. The guys did it, and now this is the aftermath. But the Atlanta Braves made a move yesterday, acquiring Jock Peterson from the Chicago Cubs. And the question is, what are the Braves going to do here moving forward for the rest of the year? We start the second half of the season tonight, and for the Braves, they're still under 500. They have been under 500 for the entirety of the season. But because the NL East, at least the Mets, haven't quite run away with things, the Braves are still within striking distance. They're in third place, but only four games out of first. And we may have gotten a little bit of the answer yesterday about how the Braves are going to handle this. What are they going to do moving forward? How are they going to handle the second half of the season? Well, they went out and added Jock Peterson to help replace Ronald Acuña. He won't be able to replace Acuña, but he can try to chip in. And so I think we've gotten the answer for the Braves that at least in the short term, they may make some moves, small moves, in the next 2 weeks and then reassess at the trade deadline. Because this is a little bit of a tricky spot for the Braves. You don't want to go all in and sell off some assets that could help you in the future because the way this season has gone, I don't think the Braves are a World Series winning team. Even if you try to win the division, right? It's almost like the NFC East this year. Even if you win the NL East and go to the playoffs, like, are you really going to get past the Dodgers, Padres, maybe even the Giants this year? Or whatever team comes out of the AL if you were to reach the World Series? And you could say, well, this is the same team that was only one win away from the World Series a year ago. So they have some potential there. Or you could tell me, we just want to get there and let's see what happens. You never know what could happen in a series, right? Just get to the playoffs. And generally, I would agree, but I wouldn't want to jeopardize or risk the future, right? Give up some sort of asset or take on some money that you probably shouldn't, that would hurt your chances to do something in the future to try to make a run this year, to try to just get to the playoffs, because I don't think the way this season has gone that this team could really do much in the postseason. But I'll give this squad one last chance. It's the next 2 weeks. I mean, they have an important, they got a homestand, and then they got something like, I think it's 8 straight against divisional opponents to wrap up the month of July heading into the trade deadline. This is the chance, next 2 weeks. You show us some signs of life. You make a little bit of a run. You get over 500. Okay. Then, you know, maybe you go out and you make a move. But if you continue to tread water and you remain 500 and you're still in third place, it's like, we've seen a lot of this team. By the time we get to the trade deadline, they will have played, you know, over 100 games. And it's almost like, is this team worth saving, for lack of a better term? Or do we just kind of punt on this year and don't jeopardize the future and make sure that we're positioned to come back swinging in 2022? Especially now with Acuña out. Ozuna, I imagine, will not be back this year. I don't know if he'll ever be back in a Braves uniform. I know Travis d'Arnaud should be back in about a month, right? So you're going to get him back. Soroka's out for the year, though. You won't get him back. Freddie Freeman's playing well now. Ozzie Albies has gotten the bat going. But overall, you look at this team and you wonder, is it worth going all in on this team right now? And I don't think so. So instead, they go out and they get Jock Peterson, right? Maybe make another little move here or there. Something that you don't have to commit to long term, or you don't give up, you know, big time prospects or some sort of other asset of yours for a rental or for a guy that's supposed to be a big splash. You know, like a Craig Kimbrell, people are always talking about in that bullpen. Granted, he'll be a free agent after the year, so you wouldn't be committed to him, but it'd take a lot of money and probably some prospects. And the Braves' bullpen has been terrible, but, you know, is it worth making a move like that for this team? Is that all they're missing? Are they just one tweak away from suddenly contending for the World Series? But what I found interesting is that they made this trade with the Cubs. And again, Jock Peterson is not some sort of all-star. He's not some sort of MVP. But the Cubs and the Braves essentially have the same record. Cubs have one more loss than the Braves. And the Cubs sold off Jock Peterson. The Braves, for lack of a better term, you know, bought Jock Peterson. They were the buyer in this case. The Cubs were the sellers. Is it an indication of what the Braves think about their potential or their future compared to the Cubs? If the Cubs are sellers and the Braves are buyers, despite having the same record, right, it would give you a peek into the optimism or the future of these two teams. Cubs wouldn't be nearly as optimistic about their opportunities or chances. The Braves apparently would be. But in terms of Jock Peterson in particular, the Braves are 29th in OPS in the league at both the left fielder position and the center field position. The only team they're ahead is actually the Yankees. So the Braves, statistically, have been the second worst team in the league at left field and center field, offensively. The only person helping them in the outfield was right field, Acuña. Now he's out for the year. So statistically, the Yankees have Aaron Judge. So statistically, the Braves have the least productive outfield now, offensively in baseball. That's why you go out and you try to make a move to bolster that outfield. And what do they get in Jock Peterson? Well, he's a good defensive player. He's been playing mostly left field this year in Chicago, but he can play right. And I think the Braves even said that's where he's going to be to, you know, replace Acuña. He's a clutch hitter over the course of his career when he was with the Dodgers. He had some big clutch hits. He's mainly a home run hitter. Batting average has always been low, but he'll hit home runs for you. All of his home runs this year have come against righty pitchers. He has struggled against lefties, and he's been streaky. Got off to a slow start this year, had an injury. Devin was hitting pretty well. But going into the All-Star game, he was under the Mendoza line for the last 3 weeks. So he was slumping a little bit. We'll see if he can bounce back. So he's been a little streaky this year. The numbers don't look great this year, but if you take away the first couple of weeks of the season, they look much better. And Peterson's owed $1.8 million from the Braves this year, and then there's a team option next year they could buy out or they can opt into next year as well. And Alex Anthopoulos was with Jock Peterson in L.A., so he knows him, he likes him. Jock Peterson checks a lot of boxes. Now, adding Peterson isn't going to, that's not the secret sauce. It's not like, oh, here we go, Braves are winning the division now, but it does help. And I know Atlanta wanted to sign him when he was a free agent this past offseason. He went to Chicago instead. And the Braves, after the Acuna injury, reached out to the Cubs and said, hey, can we talk about trying to get Jock Peterson? So it's not a huge boost, but it could be something for the Braves. It is an addition. It's better than what they have currently. Add him to the lineup. You know, hopefully he'll hit a few home runs, get some big hits for you, play good defense, fill a spot. And it's somewhat of a low-risk, high-reward move. Right, it's going to cost $4.5 million at least, and the prospect you gave up could turn out to be good. So those are kind of the risks. And I don't know how high Jock's ceiling actually is, so the reward isn't as high as a lot of these deals. So it's a little bit like a low-risk, high-reward move. The risk may turn out to be a little greater. The reward may not be as high. But the Braves went out to make a move. And in the meantime, are buyers. I think just for at least the next 2 weeks, maybe you add another piece here in that time, but nothing too major, and you reassess 2 weeks from now and say, okay, we have reached August. We're still under 500. All right, we might as well sell off whatever we can. Don't have to make any. We don't have to make any big moves. Don't have to be buyers. I don't know if you don't necessarily have to sell either. And let's just regroup for 2022. But in the meantime, the Braves are still trying to be somewhat aggressive to help turn this thing around. And they start their second half of the season, presumably, tonight. We'll wrap up hour one when we come back. Michael Collins will join us, by the way, at the top of next hour to talk a little Braves baseball and some SEC football as well. We'll wrap up hour one next. The Morrow Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to The Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Wrapping up hour one here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Got some River Dog tickets to give away a little bit later on this afternoon. Stay tuned for that. Michael Collins will join us in about 10 minutes to talk Braves baseball and preview the upcoming SEC football season. And Elliot Johnson, former Atlanta Braves, scheduled to join us later on this afternoon with the second half of the Major League Baseball season starting tonight now. After the cancellation or postponement yesterday in New York. You can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500, to give us a call. Let's go to the phones because Super Dave is with us. Dave, what's going on? How are you?
Just count the days to August 5th.
August 5th.
I don't mind the Hall of Fame game. Just that Dallas-Pittsburgh, that sounds like a real good game.
All right,
even, you know, no matter how it turns out or who they use is football.
So,
you know?
How many days are we away from August 5th, then?
Oh, well, you got 16 left of this month, Bob, 21. Blackjack.
21. Look at that. Perfect. 21 days blackjack. Away from football. How about that? You hit blackjack today.
Yeah. And then we got August 28th, and we got college football and ESPN, all the small schools. They ought to be real good games.
Yes, hopefully.
I'm looking forward to UCLA and Hawaii again. I think UCLA win that one.
Yes. What about the Hall of Fame game? Who wins the Hall of Fame game?
Pittsburgh. I don't think Dallas is going to get it this first game. I really don't.
Yeah, you think Pittsburgh wins.
Pittsburgh will, you know, come up with a win. So, but it'll be interesting. It's football.
Yes.
Hey, pretty soon y'all be advertising.
Advertising?
Football, you know, like... You usually do bar advertisements and the whistle blows and
yes.
Advertise specials and stuff like that for football games.
Yeah.
Then you got baseball. That'd be a great sports bar, you know.
What's your go-to food for a football game? You're watching a football game. What do you want to be eating with it?
Fried chicken.
Fried chicken. There you go.
and maybe some biscuits.
Ooh, okay.
They can't go wrong there. Maybe a couple of ears of corn with that.
Oh, now you're talking. Today is National Corn Fritters Day. Do you like corn fritters?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I was raised on them.
Oh, there you go.
But anyway, of course, the Braves, how the Nationals do it? Because they always in the playoffs.
Who?
The Nationals.
Oh, the Nationals. No, they're not. They're doing worse than the Braves right now.
Wow. They usually do pretty good.
Yeah, well, they won the World Series a couple years back, but they've been struggling since. They're doing fairly well not too long ago. Kyle Schwarber was hitting all his homers, and then they lost four in a row to end the first half, and they're behind the Braves in fourth in the NL East. We'll talk about the Atlanta Braves, and it's never too early, like Dave was saying, to get ready for the football season. We'll talk about Clemson and Georgia as well with Michael Collins from FanSided, who will join us when we come back with Hour 2. It's the More Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.